Oh, you get that man again? Yeah, I can hear you. What's happening?
I have some news to tell you. You have been born again inside a prison. A prison for your mind. What this prison is, I cannot tell you. What this is good.
What are you blabbing on about? Prison for the mind? What the hell? Whoa!
Mr. Anderson, I've been rebuilt in this prison myself. I have certain control over this prison.
You must be my old mate Smitty. Hey Smitty, how you going, mate?
Beware of friends calling you Neo.
Oh mate, they just call me Mr. Andy, mate. That's all we call me. Oh well, good luck with everything, Mr. Smitty.
And welcome aboard, folks, to a special episode of the Lethal Mullet Podcast tonight, looking at the brand new trailer that's just come out, the full-length trailer for The Matrix Resurrections, the brand new Matrix film, which is the fourth installment. If we're counting the Animatrix, maybe it is the fifth installment. That's a very valid argument for it being the fifth film in the Matrix line, and one hell of a movie, the Animatrix, is as well being the fourth. I'm your host, Adam O'Brien, and here we're going to be looking at the trailer tonight. I'm going to look at a little bit of the cast and some of the ideas, and we'll try and keep this as non-spoiler as we can. Within regards to the trailer, it's pretty spoilery itself, what it's shown, and we'll go into a little bit of that in this special episode of the show, episode number 119 of The Mulletrix. In this episode tonight, we will look at, you know, what is the character of Thomas Anderson doing at this time of his life? You know, I'm going to speculate. I don't know enough about this film. I'm going in pretty cold in December when this comes out. Bad news is, folks, in Australia, we get to see this delayed, unfortunately. Like Dune, it is delayed till New Year's Day in Australia, which is unfortunate. And, of course, thanks to the many COVID cases in our two biggest cities, that is, of course, Sydney and Melbourne, which are just not doing very well. Put it that way, folks. The numbers are still climbing. There's even some in Queensland, in our state now, getting triggered by some truck drivers and others that are not getting tested or are tested and they're positive case and they're still in the local vicinities without going into quarantine. So thank you bloody much for those people out there that are just not thinking of others. And also for their own health. Get home, quarantine until you get a negative test. It's just simple as that. No mucking around. So what is the Matrix.com reloaded today as well, which we're going to get into very, very soon here on the show after, of course, a little message from us here at the Lethal Mullet Network Studios. G'day, mate. How you going? Welcome to the Lethal Mullet Network, where you'll find all these amazing shows and more. Where you'll find the Lethal Mullet Podcast, a celebration of action cinema from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. You'll also find Making Treks, a Star Trek fan podcast, where I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Mark Newbold, into a deep dive of Star Trek. You'll also find Mullet and Kilt, a look at music, where I'm joined by my dear pal, Darth Elvis, and where you can also find The Mullet Guild, a look at the Dune universe. All here on, of course, lethalmulletnetwork.podbean.com or on your favourite podcatcher. You can find us there. You can also find all these shows a week later on, of course, the one, the only Fandom Podcast Network, FPN, on fpnet.podbean.com. Don't forget to also follow us on socials. As of course, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the handle at the Lethal Mullet. We'll catch you out there and enjoy your action cinema. And now it's time for the news here on the Lethal Mullet Podcast. All right, folks, let's go through the trailer. We're going to go through the three-minute trailer slowly and look at some of the visuals, some of the, obviously the cast, and just my actual thoughts on the film itself so far. So we open up on a very futuristic San Francisco, by the look of it, because we've got the Golden Gate Bridge there, And before we even see a character, we see a Cheshire Cat. Now, remember back to the first Matrix and remember what happens when we see a cat. Remember, of course, we get Trinity and Morpheus talking about cats where they say, oh, you saw a cat. Was it exactly the same cat? Remember? Deja vu. So that's what opens up this, which is giving you, again, it's very meta. It's also very, you know, straight up that this is a redo, if you like. You know, this is going back to the old, you know, style of the original film. Then we see Mr. Thomas Anderson and along with Neil Patrick Harris in some type of room there where he's basically his psychiatrist, if you like. Thomas Anderson's having visions and he's having dreams that he's not sure if they're real or not. Now, again, this is something that echoes the first film. There's so much that's centered in this trailer that gives visuals not only of the old series of films and the old trilogy, but there's obviously some dynamic there about what the one went through, what it had been, and what has come after. So we get to see this vision, as he's talking about, of him walking down the street, where we see a motel and some other rooms like that, and we see the code of the Matrix on both sides. Now, again, this is basically the same sort of stuff we saw Neo in the original film towards the end of the movie, where he starts to be able to read the codes of the Matrix and see the Matrix for what it is. And of course, as we get later and later, when he lost his vision in Matrix Revolutions, everything's coded. You could see the whole lot and you could see the light of the code without having eyes and stuff like that too. So it's a very, very interesting part to it there. Then we see flashes. And these flashes are of different events, whether they be future or past. We get to see the whole lot of them. And if you slow it down, you can see a young Morpheus. We get to see that. We also get to see what looks to be some people in the real world, Zion. We get to see machines. We get to see Sentinels again. So we're now starting to get a sense of just how far this scope is going to be for this film, what we're about to see, what we're going to see. And again, I have a feeling that this film will no doubt not stay in the one place. It'll be jumping all over the place. Is this film going to be a linear film, as in timelines, or is this going to go forward and back and forward, relate to the original films? Is it going to relate to different events that happen that way too? So play further, and we get to see, again, some characters with green coating in their eyes even, which was interesting. We get to see a scene here with the younger Morpheus character firing off a couple of MP5s and a Beretta pistol by the look of it too. Again, looks like how is this? Is this actually Morpheus? You know, again, something that's going to be answered in the film, no doubt. And we get to see, also, if you freeze frame it, you get to see the shaved head version, of course, of Thomas Anderson waking up in the real world, back in the pods. That's right. Keanu Reeves has shaved his head again, folks, for this film. So again, we're going to see echoes of what happened before in this film. So when they say that this is a resurrection, it really is. You know, we're getting get to see Neo reborn. Is this the Matrix reborn? Is this the seventh incarnation of the Matrix? These are all questions that no doubt we are going to see answered. So with this, we get to see him snap out of his dream, where we get to see Neil Patrick Harris jotting down some notes about what Thomas Anderson's going through. Now, again, this is all about answering those sorts of questions that the other one did so well back in 1999, which was simulacra simulation, what is real, what is not, how do you define reality? And I think this is going to send things into a whole other realm. Because no doubt we're getting to get to see this when we get to see a lot of other stuff when it comes to a sense of what is real to Thomas Anderson. So this movie is setting up, obviously, that we're going to have to wake up Neo. This is part of the plot. This is obviously something that is indicative that we're going to see somewhat revisiting of the first film. Now, I'm not just talking in terms of Neo being awakened, but maybe the Matrix itself being awakened, and we're going to see that very much so in here. Now, again, we get to see Thomas Anderson saying, "Am I crazy? Is this all not real?" And we see Neil Patrick Harris's character say, "We don't say that here." So you know something's up with that character. Opens up with the Warner Brothers logo. We get the classic green hint. And we get to see again, this is something a little bit different. We get to see the character of Thomas Anderson in his own apartment overlooking the San Francisco Bay. And it's obviously, he's doing a little bit better off than he was at the start of The Matrix in this version of the character. We also get to see him in some type of coffee shop with a woman that looks just like Trinity. That's right. Carrie Ann Moss appears here. I tell you what, she hasn't aged that badly, you know, when it comes down to it. Obviously, her and Keanu, well, that's 20 plus years later. Both of them look fantastic in this, got to say. Huge fan of both of them. So great to see them together. And she doesn't recognize that it's Neo. He obviously has a sense that it's her, but they can't tell. Then we have a shot here, which is really interesting. He's taking pills, no doubt given to him by Neil Patrick Harris's character. And if you look very carefully, you can see that they are blue pills, right? When we're talking blue pills, folks, because it keeps him in the Matrix. That's right. Keep on the blue pills. You know where you're heading. Now, those blue pills themselves, it seems that we're getting quite a bit of that too in here. We get to see him questioning his vision, goes outside, looks at the sun, puts his hands in front of the sun to try and get a sense of, is this reality or is this simulation? We get to see him in a room filled with people on their phones. Isn't that really prophetic, the way that the original Matrix really set that apart? You know, it had people on their phones already without even getting into where we are now. It's really interesting that that is a real prophetic thing that, you know, call yourselves in this universe where now, well, social media, what, 8 years, maybe 10 years after the Matrix movies were even in, become such a thing. This AI, this technology that we, you know, take for granted now, and it's, you know, right now, you're using the stuff as we speak in business and in your own lives and stuff like that. So it's interesting that it's all a part of what we do. Again, machines, we can't live without them. And we get to see him really questioning, should I have more of these pills? He puts those pills aside and then gets a visit. And obviously one of the things he sees in here, and it's a running theme, even with the music in the trailer itself, is, of course, Alice in Wonderland. Now, you remember, of course, there's many, many hints to that in the original Matrix. Obviously, it's a big part of Alice tumbling down the rabbit hole, right? To see what the real world really is. And we get to see him in front of a mirror again. Now, remember that we had that in the original Matrix. It was, you know, again, distortion of reality in that, you know, mirror that really pulled him out the first time. So I think we're going to see an echo of that here as well. Temptation of reality, whether it's real or not. Then we see the younger version of Morpheus, which we'll talk about soon. It's no doubt Morpheus. Everything about him is exactly the same. Although it's reported, now this is a spoiler, folks, so a very mild one at that, that this version of Morpheus is an agent. All right, so take that what you will, but you can see it in some of the footage. It's something that's definitely, I think, there, you know, no doubt. Now, it's not played by, of course, Lawrence Fishburne in this. It's a new actor playing the role. And there's going to be a reason for that in this film, which is interesting. And if that's the case, if it's a younger version of the character, then wouldn't this be a prequel to The Matrix? Well, no, it's a sequel and said to be set 60 years after Matrix Revolutions, after Neo died in that last version of The Matrix. So where are we? What is this? And how is Neo and Trinity able to keep their bodies looking, pretty much only 20 years later, not 60 years later. So again, more questions, which is what we want, that's what the filmmakers definitely want from us, is us to be seeing more questions. We see another rabbit tattoo here with Jessica Henwick's character. And again, interesting, we get to see another light door, if you like, and they've got to step through another portal, another gateway. And through that, we see the Matrix characters walking through, and of course, Neo doing the same. I think we're going to see a lot of portals in this. It seems to be one of those films that's going to be jumping between the realities of, obviously, Zion and vice versa. Because apparently we get to see Niobe. She's in the cast list in this. Then, again, we see another section where we have the characters of Neo and Trinity together, probably talking about their past lives. We're not sure. Then we go to a lake, a dojo in the lake, where we get a scene with the younger version of Morpheus fighting Neo. Now, Morpheus is played by Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, who's a fantastic actor in some of the material I've seen him in. And in this alone, he has a very youthful, strong version. And it definitely echoes the work done by Lawrence Fishburne in the original film. But in this, we get to see sort of, I think, the spirit of the character is coming through without a doubt. This is an echo of that dojo fight we saw from the first film. So see how this is, it's very much The Matrix revisited in some ways, some of those scenes. And we're getting to see the One, or Neo, start to get his powers again. So just before we get back into more trailer talk here, I will say that over at darkhorizons.com, they've confirmed that Yahya Abdul-Mateen II is definitely playing the role of Morpheus. So he obviously is of the fame of Aquaman, Watchmen, and Candyman as well. And of course, on Instagram today, he confirmed that he will be indeed playing the role of Morpheus in the film. So how that plays out, we'll just have to wait to see in the movie itself. But definitely great news. So back to the dojo fight, we get to see Morpheus again in a nice kimono-like outfit. This actually echoes a little bit of the first episode of The Animatrix, if you remember that, with the sword fight that's in that movie. Again, I still think that is The Matrix 4, folks, even though it is obviously a number of 10-minute movies put together. It's still a fantastic anime project that we got. And in this, we get to see really the One, as in Neo, going to town on Morpheus. And, he literally just blasts him through this lake and destroys everything around it. Then we get the Four Christmas, this Christmas, and we get to see them obviously going to the real world, the desert of the real. we get to see a new ship. By the look of it, it's not the Nebuchadnezzar, it's something else. Obviously, Lana Wachowski has, I do believe, done an interview where she talked about what the ship was, the new name for this ship in particular, and some of the characters like Bugs that we're going to hear about. And, of course, some of the others like, obviously, Morpheus is in there too, and some other new ones that are part of this ship. What we get to see here is also some scenes of Trinity and Morpheus on tops of buildings, and looks like they're being chased by SWATs or at least agents. We get to see an agent in this too assume the form of one of the police, and it looks like a very much an echo of what we had in the start of the first Matrix, when, of course, Trinity is being chased by agents. What we do know is Daniel Bernhardt, yes, of Bloodsport 2, 3, and 4 fame, and, of course, of John Wick and many other projects, he is again back playing one of the agents in this film. We get to see a lot of city shots here. We get to see a bullet train. So the Shinkansen, folks, that's right, bullet trains of Japan, going through some hell because rockets are being fired all over it. We get to see Jessica Henwick's character. I believe this is Bugs getting thrown around a bit there too. We also get to see, again, the young Morpheus going to town with a pistol and an MP5K And you could tell it's him with the suit again, too. Beautifully well-dressed in this. And huge explosions. We get to see John Wick jumping around. We also get to see Neo in the real world plugging into the Matrix again. And we get to see Trinity. And in this shot, we get to see her pretty much bending reality by, or in this case, bending the inside of the Matrix with her screaming, where multiple different versions, either this is just her being echoed, I don't know what to think of the imagery that we're seeing here, folks, but it does look pretty amazing. We get to see the character of Morpheus touching the mirror again and getting the sort of puddle through there too. There are some interesting sort of images around the character of Morpheus that kind of get a sense that this character, in particular some of the little teaser trailer bits that we got a couple of days ago, that maybe he's not from the real world. Maybe he's just a program this time. You know, no different than Seraph or, you know, the Architect or any of those programs, the Merovingian, although we do know the Merovingians in this movie as well. Obviously, same actor. So it'd be interesting to see how that pans out and how did he survive Matrix, revolutions? We don't know. But these are all things that are going to pop up. Again, we get to see more of a fight with police. We get to see the scene of course, Neo and Trinity on a motorcycle and a chase through the city. We then get to see Morpheus running through some type of tunnel with a character coming past them as well. Some of these things look straight out of Inception even, and some other stuff there too. People falling from buildings. We get to see a fight that looks like it's in the alleyways, and it looks like the Smith and Neo fight from the end of the first Matrix in the subway. Again, we get to see Neo stopping bullets, old school style, so you could definitely see his powers are coming back. And we get to see helicopters chasing our two main characters. And then we see them leap off the side of the building. Then we get to see Neo sitting in a building with a character that I've just found out is Agent Smith. That's right. New incarnation of the character played by Jonathan Groff. So this is, again, a little bit like Morpheus. They're kind of like a, if anything, they've taken on a new form within the Matrix itself. And again, he says, "Welcome back, Mr. Anderson, to the Matrix." And then we got the title card, The Matrix Resurrections, with those classic bits of kanji and katakana and numerals coming down the screen in the beautiful black and green hue. So that's it, folks. That is the trailer. That's all we really know. There's plenty of spoilery stuff you can find on YouTube if you really want to go into what is definitely happening in the film. But I like to dissect it as it is. For me, this looks like it's a reskinned version of the first movie, only bigger. It's about characters coming to terms with their past. So some post-traumatic stress that we can see is definitely bringing some doubts to the character of Thomas Anderson and, of course, Neo himself. Then we've got all this sort of new imagery, a rebooted Matrix. Again, this, go back to the first film. Remember, that was the sixth version of the Matrix. It even tells you that they rumored to be the sixth version. So if this is so many years later, this is the seventh version of the Matrix. So really goes to show you that maybe the one has always been Keanu in every single version of the Matrix before it. So I think that's going to play heavily into this. But I think too, is Neo maybe a little bit like Flynn in Tron? Is he in control of everything? Because it seems like he's the linchpin for all these changes, the realities and everything like that too. And then, of course, then he's been sucked back into the Matrix itself. There's just so many questions, folks, there's so many questions to be answered. And that's what I think has been making it so interesting as a whole. So I'm pumped, folks. I can't wait. I'm just a little bit angry that we have to wait till January here in Australia. But at least you guys will be able to tell us what the film is like when we get to it too. So I think taking away from us, it's definitely better looking in the trailer than I thought it would be. I can see definitely some of the imagery from the Matrix that has always been there. There's some green hues in there, and obviously the green and blue sort of color schemes of the alive world and the not alive world. So obviously something that was a color palette from the original films. It's all there. But also some of the interesting choices of fight choreography in this one too. We get to see some new characters, which is great. I think that we could have used a little bit more of that in the sequels as well. But they're definitely echoing the first film, and I think that's going to be a surefire success for them because the sequels weren't quite as well received as the first ones, first film. That's without a doubt something that has sort of plagued the last two films. But the Animatrix came along, and it's a hell of a box set, that first series of films too. So something we're definitely going to be looking at film by film in the next month or so. Here is a look at the Matrix films, what made them so good, and of course, made out here in Australia, folks. You can't beat that, can you? So that's something we'll definitely sort of unbox, have a look at, and we'll see if we look at the Animatrix, the influence that's had on everything going around there too. So if you haven't seen the trailer, get out there, see the trailer. It's awesome. You owe yourself a time to sit back and relax for 3 minutes and let Thomas Anderson and friends entertain you. So go and do it. I'm Adam O'Brien, the Leave the Mullet. We'll catch you next time.
G'day, folks. Hope you're enjoying the great shows here on the Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to check out all the great shows that we have on offer and subscribe on the master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. You can check Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Rysel and Lee Fillingsis on their platform. You can also check out Culture Clash, which is the weekly look at pop culture hosted by Kevin and Kyle. Couch Potato Theatre, this is a cult classics and guilty pleasure podcast. Also Time Warp, a fandom flashback show. End Zone, a look at the NFL, the American football. Also, Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast, looking at the great films of Alfred Hitchcock. Union Federation podcast, a Star Trek and Orville podcast, looking at Discovery and, of course, Picard, plus the Orville. Also, the Hair Metal podcast, looking at the great shows put on by the amazing bands back in the late 80s, their discs, their LPs, everything, all covering the fashion as well. Hosted by Kevin the Raider Nerd Reitzel. You can also check out Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, hosted by Kevin and Dan Hadley, looking at all the eras of Doctor Who. You can also catch out What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast, an amazing show looking at Star Wars, hosted by Derek and Scott. And of course, our newest one, the amazing The Mullet Guild, an offshoot of the Lethal Mullet podcast looking at Frank Herbert's Dune universe. This is like an encyclopedia for Dune, where I take you through and down into the rabbit hole of Frank Herbert's amazing space opera, the sprawling universe which is going to be brought to life by Denis Villeneuve and December 18. You can check out all the shows there. Be sure to also go onto the social platforms on Twitter at FanPod Network. Let us know what you think of the shows and what else you can look at there. You can also check out great articles that we put up through there that we share. Also check out on Instagram and Facebook, Phantom Podcast Network. Be sure to make sure that every Tuesday you check out the great work done by Making Treks as well. A brand new podcast looking at a deep dive of Star Trek, hosted by myself, James Semple, and of course, the ever popular and amazing writer of Star Trek and Star Wars, Mark Newbold. Go and check it out, folks, and we'll catch you next time here on the Phantom Podcast Network's The Lethal Mullet Podcast. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.